Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday evening. I got to see Carmen's fireplace. I think she's already left the room, but when I came in, her video cam was there, and I blew it up and looked, and she has a lovely fireplace in the background. It's kind of fun peeking. But hi, everybody. Happy Sunday. We are here for Holy Spirit Guides. And again, those are the messages that Holy Spirit gave me to be helpful to me. And I'm just sharing those messages in chronological order. And we are now up to October 2006. There you go, Zoe, since I think you popped in right after I gave the link. There it is again. And the message that we're going to at least start with tonight is called, What is Most Helpful for Me Now? So we're going to look at that and see what it was. What I'd like to do first, though, is just go into prayer. So if you all would join me, I'd appreciate that. Holy Spirit, I come to you in this moment in all humility. What I see, what I am aware of, is the ego's desire to know what it sees. The ego's desire to define, to say, I know what that is. And Holy Spirit, I would like to let go of this completely. I'm reminded of the single quiet prayer you gave me recently where you said, a bird is not a bird, a hand is not a hand, a body is not a body, the sky is not the sky, the clouds are not clouds, rain is not rain. And you reminded us through that prayer that how could we possibly think we know? How could we possibly think we can judge and make decisions when what we think we see, a bird, a hand, a body, a sky, a cloud, rain, isn't even what we're looking upon. Our ego is so certain that it knows what's going on. And in our agreement with that idea, we cling to the ego. Holy Spirit, I recognize this error in me. And I ask you to help me to let go of that desire to define, the desire to think I know, to completely surrender into the idea that a bird is not a bird, a hand is not a hand, a body is not a body. How could I think I know what I look upon? Let me surrender completely to you, be guided to you, be guided by you, knowing that I do not know. Amen. All right. So, a couple more people popped in the room, it looks like. There we are. There's the link to the message that we're going to look at. And this message comes from Saturday, October 14th, 2006. Oh, you know what? I think the link I just gave you goes to a million messages. Well, not a million, maybe like five. But what you're going to have to do is scroll down to the message that is dated Saturday, October 14th, 2006. And it's called, What is Most Helpful for Me Now? So when you get to that particular page, you just want to scroll down. Okay, and the question is, what is most helpful for me now? Ah, and here's the answer. Forget about the world. Forget about illusions. Focus the mind on what it believes and tell the mind its false beliefs are not true. One by one, look at them and whisper in love, that belief is not true. It goes very well with the prayer I just prayed, don't you think? Or at least I do, right? I actually did that during a movie today. We went and saw a movie. Jasmine wanted to see this movie, and we do things just to honor Jasmine because she honors us so much of the time by letting us do what we want to do. So we went to see Dear John, and it was a romantic movie, a bit of a tearjerker. There were a couple of deaths in the movie, and as I was watching the movie, I was watching my belief in life being in the body. And by that I mean that when the body dies, then something has been lost. I was watching the thought of my loved ones dying. And I was watching the thought that that would be bad. And I was doing exactly what this says. I was saying, that is not true. I was looking right at my beliefs and denying them. And not the improper use of denial, but the proper use of denial. That is not true. And that's what Holy Spirit's asking us to do. Oh, you want to answer the phone, Danielle? That's the proper use of denial that Jesus teaches in the early parts of the Course. And it was nice to be able to do it during a movie. And what was kind of fun after the movie is Bill leaned over and he said, you know what I was doing? He goes, I just asked Spirit. And he says, I'm letting go of the belief that the body is real. I said, that's what I was doing too, Bill. So we were both able to use that movie to look at that belief, and my guess is not totally let it go, but you know, chip away at the belief. I'm reminded of something Inner Ramana said that you know, when we question who is saying that, when the ego is talking and we say, who is saying that, you know, he says that every time we do that, it's like we're taking a razor blade and sawing on a rope that keeps us attached to the ego. And if we're very consistent with questioning the ego and realizing that's not us, eventually the razor blade goes all the way through the rope, the attachment to the ego is broken, and we're free. And in effect, that's what Bill and I were doing during the movie today. We may not have let go of the belief in the body, but we had our razor blade out, and we were sign on that rope. And this is what Holy Spirit's asking us to do, or at least asking me to do, in this particular message. He says, forget about the world, forget about illusions, focus the mind on what it believes. And by that he really means really look at it. Okay, really take time to look at it and tell the mind its false beliefs are not true. Get out your razor blade and start sawing on that rope. One by one, look at them and whisper in love, that belief is not true. He continues, you are the teacher of yourself. What you choose to accept, or in this case the word accept means believe, what you choose to believe, you teach. Now, most of what you accept or most of what you believe is not true. You're believing false thoughts. You're teaching yourself untruth. Holy Spirit continues, everything that is false must be let go. And I just feel like pausing and looking at that for a moment. He doesn't say some of what you believe. He doesn't say that which you believe which causes you pain. He says everything. Everything that is false must be let go. And I'm getting a question for the link again from Barbara. There you go. There's the link. And you'll want to scroll down to the message that is dated Sunday, October 14th. And it's called, What is Most Helpful for Me Now? So again, everything that is false must be let go. In order to let it go, you must be willing to see it as not true. You must look at what you believe and deny it. Again, proper use of denial. That belief is not true. Some of you may remember that a couple of years ago, Laurent and I received a message very similar to this. It was only belief, not true. And for a while, people were going around practicing that, saying that. We would be teaching, we'd see people typing in, you know, the comment, only belief, not true. And in fact, some people even started abbreviating it. It was OBNT. And whenever anybody would type OBNT, that meant only belief, not true. But this is the proper use of denial, which the Course talks about and which Jesus highly recommends. There you go, Cliff. OBNT. Only belief, not true. Everything that is false must be let go. In order to let it go, you must be willing to see it as not true. You must look at what you believe and deny it. This is different than the ego's denial, and the difference is critical. The ego's denial is not look at that which you fear. By the way, I want to let you guys know that recently some kind of a hacking happened on ReginaDonAkers.com, which will probably take me many months to clean up. But when you see these spaces, like we see right now, if you're looking at the screen, you see the ego's denial is not to look at, and then the sentence actually continues on another line. There's actually some embedded code there that you cannot read, which is the names of many movies and websites. And one by one, I need to go through and find all of these and delete them, but it will take me quite a while. So until then, please just be patient with the appearance of this blog. All right? So the ego's denial is not to look at that which you fear because you believe it is true. All right? So the ego's denial is different than spirit's denial. Spirit's denial is to look right at it. Like today during that movie, I don't know about Bill, but I was getting choked up. You know, there was emotion in me. I was looking right at my emotion, right at the belief that was causing the emotion, and then giving my willingness by practicing this not true practice without even knowing we were going to be reading this message tonight. But see, it's not denying it. I wasn't like saying, ah, no, I didn't cry. Heck, I I was looking right at what I was feeling. When you say, I'm fine, and you're not fine, that's the ego's use of denial. And that's not helpful at all. But to look at the belief that is causing the feeling of not being fine, looking right at it and then saying, not true, only belief, or only belief, not true. Then you're taking that razor blade out and you're sawing up on that rope, and eventually that razor blade's going to cut through that rope and that attachment to ego will fall away. So proper use of denial and improper use of denial. One second, my dog wants to go outside. Okay. All right, Debbie's going to let her out. So again, the ego's denial is not to look at that which you fear because you believe it is true. To willingly look at it and deny it is to teach that it is not true, and therefore it cannot be fearful. And that's what I was doing today during the movie, literally, as I was watching these deaths on the screen, and I was automatically feeling sadness, emotion, because of the association to how I would feel if someone that I love was dying, right? I was reminding myself that death is not real. I was reminding myself that loss of the body, loss of the personality, does not mean that there was actually a loss. I was reminding myself that death cannot be fearful. taking that razor blade and rubbing it against that rope. So to willingly look at it, your emotion, your belief, and deny it, is to teach that it is not true, and therefore it cannot be fearful. When I tell you to forget about the world and forget about illusions, I'm not asking you to deny them as fearful. I am asking you to accept that they are not real, and to let go of anything, every thought, that would teach you otherwise. This takes mind concentration, but it is not thinking. It is observing. This takes discernment, but it is not judgment. It is not an action you take alone. It is one you take with me in peaceful and purposeful determination to see. And then Holy Spirit ends this message with, now let's begin. So that's just the first message we're going to look at today. What is most helpful for me now? What I will do is just let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they want to share before we go on to the next message. Yeah, Cliff, please take the mic. I don't know if you heard me, Cliff. I think I might have got stepped on. I was saying, please take the mic. Go ahead, Cliff. Okay, Cliff, I personally did not hear you. I don't know if anyone else did. I had no sound. Okay, see your hand up again? All right, let's try it again.
Yeah, how's this? Better? You know, it really helps to unmute the microphone. Yeah, it helps a lot. The when you said something about I'm fine is the ego's use of denial. Did you mean in the context of, like, if you see a friend, let's say it's Frank, and he says, how are you doing? And I say, I'm fine. Is that what you meant? And if you did, I don't get it.
Yeah, no, I'm fine when you're not fine is really what I mean. For example, I got an email from a friend today just shortly before coming in to teach where the friend starts the email by saying, I'm fine now. I was upset, but now I'm fine. And then the rest of the email, you can tell that she's really not fine. She's just not. So what's happening is she's in total denial of her emotions. She's pushing her emotions down, pushing them away, doing her best not to look at everything that's going on inside of her. So that's what I meant, saying I'm fine when you're not fine. That's the ego's denial, and that's not at all helpful. Yeah, and I see that you get that. Yeah, not at all helpful. Good. All right, then, tell you what, let's go to the next message. It's the same link, but I will post the link again for those of you who may have entered the room since I shared it last time. But it's the same link, and all we're going to do is scroll up. We were looking at a message called What is Most Helpful for Me Now on Saturday, October 14th. Now we're going to scroll up to Sunday, October 15th, and I have a message called The Correction of Error. And my dog wants in. Oh, Debbie's got it. Good. So, The Correction of Error. And I ask a question to the Holy Spirit. I say, why does A Course in Miracles say that our brother is always right? I don't know how you guys feel, but I think that's a pretty good question. Why would A Course in Miracles say that my brother is always right? So here's the Holy Spirit's answer. Oh yeah, I remember this answer. It's such a helpful answer. Our brother is always right because our brother is reflecting thoughts that are in one mind. This does not mean that what he is saying is correct at the level of form. It means that it is always a perfect reflection of thought within the one mind. It cannot be anything else. Now, if you don't understand this, then it might be helpful to remember that bodies are communication devices. If you, for a moment, let go of looking at a body as a person who could be right or wrong, and instead you look at a body as a communication device which simply reports the thoughts that it is hearing and believing, it's always right. If I say to you, Cliff, I'm going to use you, okay, but I don't mean this at all. But if I say to you, Cliff is a jerk, it does not mean that Cliff is a jerk. Cliff might be a really nice guy. But I am accurately reporting to you a thought that is in the mind. And in fact, if any of you think of it for a moment, you've shared that thought, maybe not specific to Cliff. Maybe you never thought Cliff was a jerk, but you thought someone was. Right? So I'm always right. I am always accurately reporting a thought that is in our shared mind. In fact, it would be absolutely impossible for me to do anything else. I can only report a thought that is in our shared mind. So I'm always right. I'm always an accurate reporter. So our brother is always right, because our brother is reflecting thoughts that are in the one mind. This does not mean that what he is saying is correct at the level of form. It means that it is always a perfect reflection of thought within the one mind. It cannot be anything else. If the thought our brother is reflecting is ego gibberish, it does not mean that he is wrong. These thoughts are within the one mind, and he is reflecting them correctly. However, since it is the reflection of meaninglessness, it does not require correction. In order to correct meaninglessness, we would first have to give it meaning. That would be an error of listening to ego within our mind. Now, I recently had this experience as well, so it's very timely for me. It's interesting how we can be reading from, you know, 2006, and always these messages seem perfectly timely. But recently, a friend emailed me, and the friend was telling me, you know, what I think. You think this, you want this, et cetera, right? This is what you think, this is what you want. And there was an email there in this chain of emails which really showed that I had said the opposite. And what my ego wanted to do was highlight the sentences where I had said just the opposite and send them back to my friend and say, no, I said this. I didn't say what you're saying. I said this. But I did not send that email. And everyone here in the house knows why I didn't, because I shared it with them. For me to do that would be me listening to ego. And that's never okay for me to do. That's never helpful for me to do. Never. Not if my purpose is awakening. It was helpful to notice that I wanted to do that. It was even helpful to notice that I wanted to do it quite a bit. It came up in my mind several times. In fact, when I first chose not to do that, the next thing the ego in my mind said, well, let's just save this email so that if we want to do it in a couple of days, we can. I've already deleted the email, so I can't do it in a couple of days. Because it's never okay for me to listen to my ego. Not for me, not with my purpose. It's just not. So I'm not going to do that. I just absolutely won't. But the ego in me wanted to. So see, my brother, the one who wrote to me, is reflecting, we could call it, using spirit's language here, ego gibberish. But if I get involved in that and I say, no, No, I said blah, blah, blah. I'm jumping into the same ego gibberish. I'm giving meaning to the meaninglessness. So I saw the desire to correct my brother. I saw the opportunity to correct my brother and to appear very right. I saw the opportunity to get into a wonderful back and forth battle with my brother. But I chose not to. Because I want awakening. That's the real answer. Because I don't want to listen to ego at all. And I totally recognize it as ego. But notice what Holy Spirit is saying again in this paragraph. Notice it says, if the thought our brother is reflecting is ego gibberish, it does not mean that he's wrong. All right? It does not mean that he's wrong. These thoughts are within the one mind and he is reflecting them correctly. So my brother is simply, and this body is simply a communication device. And these thoughts that it is reflecting are thoughts that are in our one mind. I cannot call my brother wrong. I cannot call my brother wrong. Yes, you are accurately reflecting, communication device, thoughts that are in our mind. You couldn't do anything else. In this particular case, the reflection is not Holy Spirit, it's ego, which means it's meaningless. And since it is the reflection of meaninglessness, it does not require correction. In order to correct meaninglessness, I would first have to give it meaning. That would be an error of listening to ego in my own mind, which was honestly something I was not willing to do. At the bottom of my heart, I was not willing to do that. So I let the opportunity pass. Holy Spirit says, when we listen to Holy Spirit, we see our brother as he truly is. We see there is no error in him. There is only perfection. So a very short message, but very, very helpful. And to be honest, I don't know if I got it this first time. Because my memory of when I got this, when it dawned on me as a realization, was only about a year ago. A year ago would have been, we're talking probably winter of 2009, and this is dated fall of 2006. So it sounds like it took about 2.5 years for this message to actually result in a true realization within my mind. But I remember talking to a brother. We were actually at church. at our church in North Carolina, we always had a buffet lunch afterwards. And we were at the buffet lunch, and he was sitting across from me. And I remember he started sharing spiritual thoughts. I'll just tell you what went on in my mind. Spiritual thoughts where my mind was saying, he's not right. He doesn't understand. He doesn't get it. Okay? This is be my ego mind. He's not right. He doesn't understand. He doesn't get it. And the ego wanted to correct my brother and tell him the right interpretation. And at that moment, the realization came into my mind as clear as day that my brother was not wrong. He was accurately reflecting ideas in our mind. And my desire to correct him just completely disappeared. That's when this teaching came to me as a realization. My brother was not wrong. I mean, that's exactly how I saw it. He was accurately reflecting ideas that are in our mind. And at that, I was able to just let it pass, just let him keep on talking. I was able to just sit there and listen to him and enjoy the conversation, and the desire to correct completely died away. Okay, so I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they want to share about this particular message. Okay, I noticed Dove has written, ego always has motive and opportunity. Only I can pull the trigger. ego always sets us up to pull the trigger. But if we withdraw meaning, it is our withdrawal of our investment in ego's sanity or ego's insanity. So absolutely, and that's what I said. I chose not to respond to the email as ego was suggesting that I do. And like I said, I even chose to delete the email so that I could not do what ego was saying. Ego was saying, well, if you're not going to do it now, hold on to the message in a couple of days. In a couple of days, you may want to go back and you have proof right here that she's wrong. You can just show her exactly what you said. And I just deleted. I have now no opportunity to defend myself and prove what I said. I have let go of that completely because it's not my desire to listen to ego. You see why I let go of it? Because it's not my desire to listen to ego. If ego is speaking, I choose not to listen. All right, so here's what we can do then. We can scroll up. That was called the correction of error from Sunday, October 15th. If we scroll up, there's another message, Sunday, October 22nd, called Bring Illusion to Truth. Let's go there next. Bring Illusion to Truth, Sunday, October 22nd. Okay, so here we go. Let's see what I had for Holy Spirit that day. A Course in Miracles says, the atonement does not make holy. You are created holy. It merely brings unholiness to holiness, or what you made to what you are, bringing illusion to truth, or the ego to God, is the Holy Spirit's only function. And then I said, Holy Spirit, what do you want to share about this? So here's the Holy Spirit's answer. I ask you to look at these words carefully, for they say more than they may seem to say if you look at them too quickly. Ignore the sentence breaks. This is all one thought. Look at the words that are brought together and then look beyond the words to what they say. Bring unholiness to holiness. Bring what you made to what you are. Bring illusion to truth. Bring ego to God. Let your eyes look at these words. Let the mind drink of their message. Let the heart tell you it is true. Let resistance go, as resistance is unholiness. So again, I'm going to read those words again, and then we'll read the next set of words. Bring holiness to holiness. Bring unholiness to holiness. Bring what you made to what you are. Bring illusion to truth. Bring ego to God. Now let's look at what Holy Spirit wanted us to see in those words. You are holiness. That is what you are. That is your truth because you are God. Now if we stop for a moment, when the Course tells us to bring illusion to truth, or to bring the ego to God, it is asking us, in our awareness, to look at it and see that it's not true. We aren't taking the ego to something outside of us, or better than us, or higher than us, or holier than us. We are bringing what we made to what we are. It is our holiness, our clear awareness, that looks at the illusions and sees they are not true. Holy Spirit continues, you are not a subset of God. You are not almost God. You are God, because God is all that is. God is a life force which brings into being, and yet nothing exists that is not God. In seeing this, you see everything. In accepting this, you are free. Bring the unholy to the holy. See that one is eternal reality, and the other need not be because it cannot be because it is not you. If we go back to the movie today, in the movie when people were dying and the emotion was rising up, as Bill and I were looking at our emotion, what we were doing was bringing the unholy to the holy in our looking at it. We were bringing the illusions to the truth in our looking at it. Bring the unholy to the holy. See that one is eternal reality and the other need not be, because it cannot be, because it is not you. Bring what you made to what you are, and see clearly which is truth. Bring what you made to what you are, and see clearly which is truth. Which one is truth? What we made, or what we are? Which one is truth? Bring what you made to what you are, and see clearly which is truth. Let go of illusion, because it need not be, because it cannot be, because it is not you. Bring the ego to God and remember what you are. Again, when we're talking about bringing the ego to God, we're talking about looking at it with our true awareness. Bring the ego to God and remember what you are. Be grateful for your truth. Choose to acknowledge truth by not acknowledging that which must be forever false, because it cannot be true. It's really the same as the first message we looked at, isn't it? Only belief, not true, or not true, only belief. Right? It's the same. It's the same. Bring the ego to God and remember what you are. Be grateful for your truth. Choose to acknowledge truth by not acknowledging that which must be forever false, because it cannot be true. Bring unholiness to holiness. Bring what you made to what you are. Bring illusion to truth. Bring ego to God. Accept the atonement, which is correction of an error that can never be true, by letting go of the error, which never was. So once again, I'll let go of the mic and see if anybody has anything they want to say about this message before we move on to the next one.
I just think, Dina, just because there's just so much shit in my face at the moment, that it's so overwhelming that it's really, really hard to, do this. Even though my willingness is there, and I have glimpses of it in the middle of my ego fits. Anyway, that's it.
Okay, Zoe, I love you. You know that. I'm not going to agree with you because I love you. I am not going to agree that there is so much shit that you can't do this. And if I did agree, Zoe, then I would be totally forgetting who you are, really. I'd be saying, yep, Zoe, you're that poor, weak human that every now and then it just gets to be too damn much and you can't look at it. And I know that you know that what I'm saying is true. Yeah, I know it's hard, Zoe. I know it's hard. I know that. And a part of what it takes is, well, it's what the Course calls, I want to see above all else, right? Or above all else, I want to see. You see, when it seems too hard, you could say that we have a hidden agenda. When it seems too hard, it's because a part of us clearly, above all else, wants to see, or else we wouldn't even be here, right? But a part of us wants that money. Or a part of us wants him to change. A part of us wants this situation to be different. Which means we aren't yet to above all else I want to see. So, yeah, I know you know. I know you, Zoe. So, what that means is that what we can do to help ourselves is when we notice that it seems too hard, we can not accept the false belief that I'm not strong enough to do this or anything like that, because it's not true. You know, don't accept those false beliefs. Instead, just be honest with ourselves and say, you know what? It seems hard because I'm still attached to wanting the money, or I'm still attached to wanting him to change. And that's why it seems hard. It's not because I'm a weak human. It's not because it's too much. It's because I still have an attachment here. I still have an attachment here. And then we just give our willingness, right? Next step. We just give our willingness. Yeah, I know the attachment is smaller. And you know what? It's going to keep getting smaller. Remember what we talked about a moment ago, Zoe? I think you're in the room. The razor blade against the rope. That's all it is. Every single time we look at this in honesty, right? Every time I'm honest with myself, the reason this seems hard is because I'm still attached to that money, or I'm still attached to wanting him to be different. But I give my willingness. We're taking that razor blade against that rope, and that's okay. That's okay. But we don't want to fall into the belief that it's just too much for me, because who am I saying I am then? Right? I'm saying I'm this small, weak human, and that's not true. It is much healthier to say, I'm not fully ready yet. I'm not letting go yet. But I give my willingness, and I know the day will come. We don't want to make ourselves small because we're not small. Yeah, it is. Okay, Zoe is saying, I do not think it is too much. It is just damn hard. Yeah. And you know why it's hard too, right, Zoe? It's because those attachments are still there. Those attachments are still there. So just look at it honestly. That's all we're asked to do, is look at it honestly. Honestly. I'm still attached here, and that's why it's hard. You know that if you had no attachment, it wouldn't be hard. You do know that, right? If you didn't have any attachments to wanting it to be different, it would be a piece of cake. So the real issue is the attachments. So just look at it honestly. Give your willingness. Trust in who you are. Love yourself. Right? That's it. Yeah, we're always allowed to be gentle with ourselves. Only the ego is not gentle with us. But we want to be honest. We want to be honest. Honest about what we're looking at. We want to bring the ego to God. We want to bring what we made to what we are. All right? And then Lisa is saying something. I think it might be a question. I'm not sure if I'm misinterpreting it. It says, even if others are judging you. When we are truly in the letting go process. Oh, not a question. It's a statement. Okay, that makes more sense, Lisa, then. Good. Even if others are judging us, we want to do this. Yes, love ourselves. Be gentle with ourselves. Be honest with ourselves. Yeah, very good. Very good. That makes more sense, Lisa. Okay, so anybody else have anything they want to share before we go to the next message? Yeah, Sharon, the mic is yours, and then Cliff, you can follow Sharon.
I don't know why I don't see any mics tonight. I'm not sure. When you were talking about attachment, I'm correct in saying that attachment in thought, you know. So when, you know, something happens to one of my sons, it's an attachment to the thought about them being my son, because, you know, they're really brothers to me. So it's attachment of thought. And I'm trying to resonate this within me. It's just the attachment to what I believe is me. And little by little, it just goes as it falls away, as we have a letting go, Regina, as we allow ourselves to just be where we're at and not expect anything else. Every day it gets better and better. I mean, Holy Spirit works in us all the time, as long as we don't resist it. So I guess my question is, you know, yes, okay, I hear Sid, okay. I don't know why I don't see a mic, but okay, thanks. But I do understand attachment, Zoe. I know what that is. And I was attached to my ex-husband for 9 years in a divorce. That was very, very dramatic and really was not something I regret, because I couldn't be where I am now if I didn't have it. You know, so we always have to look at the idea that we are actually not losing anything. We are getting more. Thanks.
Okay, yeah, Sharon, I see you saw my answer. Yes, it's attachment to ideas. Like I said, during the film today, Bill and I were looking at the attachment to the idea that the body is real, right? The attachment to that idea and using our razor blades to scrape against that rope. Cliff, the mic is yours.
Thank you. It should be working. I think it's. I don't hear myself though. What did Lisa type up there that you made note of is about judging. Don't buy it. I don't see where it went to now, but when others judge, don't buy into it. It's like, well, that's easy to say, but believing, you know. Taking that into the heart and experiencing that is a whole other story. I mean, the mind can say it over and over. And even so, the solution is to give the reaction or my belief or their belief or all of it to the Holy Spirit for truth. And it's probably got to do, it's probably that they're reflecting accepting myself and or whoever accepting the self. And that seems like a whole other ball game. It's like, oh my God, I gotta accept myself too. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Yeah, Cliff, what you're talking about, which is definitely worth going back to, if I'm hearing you correctly, because you said it's easy to say what Lisa has written. When others are judging you, do not buy it. But it's another thing to take it to heart. I think you're getting back now to what we call the inappropriate use of denial. If I say, I'm fine, I don't care, this doesn't hurt me, when in fact it does, I am lying to myself and I am not healing. That's denial. That's repression. If I feel myself being angry at others, if I feel myself avoiding people because they are hurting me, all of that is the inappropriate use of denial. So the way we get to truly being at peace when it seems like others are judging us is by being honest with ourselves when we're hurt by it. And the way that would work is to look within and to say, you know, I have a belief. I see that I'm hurt. I believe I'm hurt by this person's judging. I believe I'm affected by this. You know, you might even, if you really look at it, you might even go much deeper. You might even see that you agree with it, or you might see that you think that you deserve it. You might find some very deep beliefs there. And what we've been asked to do in these messages is to bring what we've made to what we are. And what that means is looking at these feelings, these beliefs, these emotions, with awareness, and awareness recognizing this is what I've made. I've made this. I'm the one that's believed this. I'm the one that's buying into this. And you look at it. You look at it. It's so funny how, you know, you just look without denying, without lying. You look. And what happens as you look at this pain is that eventually it does just die, just dissipate. And you know when it's died, you know when it's dissipated, because you do not see the way you did before. You simply see differently. You are no longer insulted where you were insulted before. You're no longer hurt where you were hurt before. You honestly love. So we wanna be very careful with ourselves, because the ego has a strong desire to deny. The ego has a strong desire to blame. And when we listen to the ego and we deny and we blame, we are not healing. We are not in alignment with our purpose. It is much better to step back, to take a breath, to be honest about our hurts, and to be honest that the hurt is coming from me, from my beliefs, my perceptions, and then just look at it with that awareness, realizing it's coming from me. Remember, I've told you guys this story, it feels like 1,000 times, but it's such a great symbol, the story of when Laurent seemingly rejected me. Holy Spirit told me every time I was tempted to believe that I was hurt by him, to say, it is not what Laurent is doing that is hurting me. It is my own belief and my rejectability. To just stay with that. And like I told you guys, I stayed with that for a couple of months. It didn't happen by just saying it once. But I just stayed with it. And as I stayed with it, it was healed. You see, it was just looking. It was bringing what I had made to what I am. But again, as long as I still blame others, as long as I still project it out, as long as I deny how I'm feeling, I'm not healing. All right, Zoe, the mic is all yours.
You know, I'm an extremely open person, and I really didn't even see the denial. I thought that, or maybe the denial was, you know, I'm way too spiritual, and I'm so much more evolved than this that I don't have to feel this way anymore. And I think that this getting this out here in front of everybody who's listening to you is really important for me, because it really has made me really, really see that it is me, in the way I see it. It's only me in the way I see it. And I don't have to be afraid to, I have to, you know that the ego is denial. I didn't even get that. I really didn't. Okay, I did now. Thank you.
Yeah, well, Zoe, that thought that we're too evolved, we're past this. I mean, what a great ego trick. I saw that today during the movie. Okay, the movie. By the way, I saw somebody ask what movie. The movie wasn't anything important. I mean, you could have done this during any movie. Okay, you didn't need to go to this movie to practice. It was just a movie Jasmine wanted to see. It was called Dear John. But any emotional movie would help you look at your beliefs. But today, during the movie, okay, you ready, Zoe? During the movie, when I started to get choked up and when I started to get sad, the ego literally said, you can't cry, You have to look spiritual. You have to look like this doesn't affect you. You see how the ego works? Yeah, you know that. Yeah. And again, so I didn't do that. I got out my napkin and I wiped my eyes so that everybody could see that I was crying. I did the opposite of looking spiritual. I went ahead and if anybody, I don't know if anybody else is paying any attention to me, because they're all in their own thing in the movie anyway, but still, I did not hide my emotion because ego was telling me to hide my emotion and look spiritual and be beyond this, right? Be beyond this. It's not helpful. It's not helpful to pretend. You know, it's just not. So there you go, Zoe. We're all in this together. We're all here to help each other. That's what mighty companions are for. All right. Shall we look at the next message, see what we have? We have 20 minutes left. You're just going to scroll up at the same link. Ah, here's a good one. It's, why do I hold on to my unworthiness? Scrolling up to Monday, October 23rd. Why do I hold on to my unworthiness? Are you ready? Holy Spirit, why do I bring my feeling of unworthiness from the past into some of my present moments? Here's the answer. It is because you do not want to let go of the past. By that, I mean that you want to maintain your belief that you are separate from and different than God. In order to believe you are separate from and different than God, you must see yourself as different. Unworthiness is a choice that allows you to see yourself as different than God. Now, for me, as far back as I can remember, I was willing to see myself as unworthy. I mean, that's like one of my earliest memories of a child, right? Or those embarrassing moments when I felt like others witnessed what a loser I really am. But I do know that for some people, the opposite is true, okay? Because they've told me. Some people have always felt that they're better than others. Always. They don't sense any unworthiness in themselves. In fact, they are far superior. All right? So if you happen to be a far superior person, then the question would be, why do I keep bringing my superiority into my thoughts? Right? It's the same problem. Yeah, why do I keep bringing my superiority into my thoughts? And the answer would be the same. It's because you want to see yourself as separate from God. Right? So unworthiness and superiority are two sides of the same coin. They both allow me to be different. They both allow me to be different. If you see yourself as superior to your brother, then you're seeing yourself as different. And that includes different from God because your brother is God. If you see yourself as unworthy compared to your brother, then you see yourself as different. Sharon, are you saying that you're fickle? Sometimes you're superior, sometimes you're unworthy. That's probably true of all of us to a point. I mean, I definitely have had my superior moments, but if we were to, chart them out, my unworthiness moments win by far. But I've had some superior moments, yes. It definitely wasn't a 50-50 for me. Unworthy was the winner. But yeah, fickle. We're probably all fickle. Zoe says her superior wins. But it's all the same, so it doesn't really matter which side wins, okay? So the question I ask next, because the Holy Spirit is saying that the unworthiness or the superiority was a choice that allows me to see myself as different than God. Question, so choosing unworthiness is like choosing sickness. It allows me to see myself as small. Why do I want to see myself as small? Why can't I seem to make the choice to see myself as God? Answer, it's because you believe in the world. You believe you have done something real within your mind, and because you believe you have done something real, you fear consequences of reversing that situation. You are afraid to let go because you don't know what letting go will bring. Okay, so the general idea, which we've heard before, is we think we did separate ourselves, and now we're afraid to let go of that separation. Because if we let go of that separation and we are absorbed back into God, punishment is waiting there. All right? We can't go home. You know, it's like the kid who did something so bad, and they ran away, and they can't ever go home because forgiveness isn't there. This is the belief in the mind. It's not really that I want to be separate as much as I'm afraid not to be. I have to stay separate because it protects me. My separation protects me. So with this, I said, and your recommendation, okay, so if this is the situation that I've brought upon my state of mind, what the heck can I do about it? And the answer is, stay in the current moment. Work on the forgiveness lessons that are given to you now. Don't worry about those yet to come. Stay focused on now, and trust me to lead you one step at a time. It will all be perfect because I am perfect and I am the one who knows what is best and most useful for you. Now, this is definitely reminding me now of the story of the prodigal son because, you know, the prodigal son did leave home and do something that he thought was unforgivable, right? He squandered his inheritance, you know, probably on hookers and getting drunk, right? Now, he got so hungry that he did start home. So maybe he wasn't quite as scared as we are. I don't know. Or maybe that's what we do, right? We suffer so much, some of us, that we start home. We get on the spiritual path. And then depending on which version of the story you read, either the father, when he saw that the son had started home, ran out to meet him, or he sent his servant out to meet him. Well, the Holy Spirit is the father or the servant who has come to meet us, and he's helping us to get back home. And when we ask him, what is our part? You know, now that you're leading me home, what is our part? And he says, just stay with what's right in front of you. You know, I don't have to, as Laurent used to say, be a warrior and try to go out on some warrior mission, finding everything in my mind that's mistaken, that needs to be healed and fix it. In fact, that warrior idea, believe it or not, comes from the ego. What I need to do is stay with what's being brought up. I can trust Holy Spirit. As things come up in my life, whatever it is, I look at it with my awareness. I bring what I made to what I am. I look at it with Holy Spirit, the part of my mind that looks, the part of my mind that is able to look and know that is only what I made. It is not what I am. In other words, it's not true. Only belief. And things will come up naturally. I don't have to make them come up. They will come up at the absolute perfect pace, the absolute perfect time for me. I just want to practice forgiveness on whatever is in my face now. And as long as I stay in the moment and I stay honest, I am walking home. Hi, Debbie. She's putting her face. Now, does this mean you think I need to? She came and put her face right in my face. She's so funny, isn't she? Yeah. Look at what's in my face now. She puts her face right in my face. That's something that Jasmine usually does, but Debbie doesn't do it very often. All right, once again, guys, I'm going to let go of the mic and see if you all have anything you want to share about this message. It's funny, we usually get through one, maybe two messages a night. We're really knocking them off tonight. They're all short. They're simple. They're great reminders. Let's see if you have anything to share about this one. Letting go of the mic now, for those of you who cannot see a mic. Okay, good, 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 good. Then let's move on, shall we? We're going to keep scrolling up. And I'm going up, 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 up. Ooh, here's probably the last one for the day. If you scroll all the way to the top of the page, you're going to get to Thursday, October 26th, the desire to be right. That was my prayer, wasn't it, those of you who were here at the top of the hour? Wasn't I saying that I noticed the ego's desire to be right? And I pray to be completely freed of that, to completely release that, remember? So this is probably one reason we had to hurry through these messages, because I asked Holy Spirit for something that was like six messages away, so we're like knocking them off so that like we could finally get to the message that's going to help with the prayer. So here we go, the desire to be right. Question. Projected as outside the mind, I see the desire to be right and to prove others wrong. That means I thought one of you guys were doing it. Not me, right? I'm the face of innocence here. Not me, but that person over there wants to be right. It's projected outside of the mind. Projected as outside the mind, I see the desire to be right and to prove others wrong. I also recognize this same desire in me. So there we go. I'm saying, I know I do this too. It's not just Cliff. Me too, right? Cliff, we're in this together. What would you share regarding this desire? Answer. The desire is the desire to prove separation true, for it separates and draws lines so that division seems real. All right, now if we think about this for a minute. If I am right and you are wrong, then we have to be separate, right? I mean, it's pretty obvious. So by clinging to the desire to be right, I am clinging to the desire to be separate. And in fact, I'm reminded now of the earlier message that we looked at tonight where we talked about seeing the body as just a communication device. Remember, it said our brother is always right, no matter what my brother says. You know, if Cliff says Regina's a jerk, he's right. Maybe not at the level of form. Maybe Regina's really nice, but he's right because he's reflecting an idea that's in our mind. He couldn't say it unless it was an idea in our mind. When we start really seeing this way, I told you it took 2.5 years before the realization came and I actually started seeing that way. But when we start really seeing that way, it dissolves separation, because what happens is we start saying, he's only reflecting a thought that's in our mind. So here, the our mind, do you see how the separation disappears? He's just reflecting a thought in our mind. So see, if I'm right and Cliff's wrong, there's a division there. But if Cliff is just reflecting ideas in our mind, the division disappears. So the desire to be right is synonymous with the desire to be separate. So again, the desire is the desire to prove separation true, for it separates and draws lines so that division seems real. Whenever this desire is seen, it is to be recognized as false. Holy Spirit's like really on a theme tonight. So now we're back to not true, only belief, right? It is false because there cannot be right or wrong within illusion. There is only untrue. And it is false because nothing can be separate. Nothing can separate you from your brother with whom you are fully joined. Again, it's a thought in our mind. We are fully joined. The desire to be right and make someone else wrong is a manifestation of the desire to see yourself as separate, which is the desire to believe in illusions. Believing in illusions does not make them true, but it does hide the reflection of truth from your sight. To choose illusions is to ask confusion to be your guide. As you follow confusion, you are lost from the vision of clarity. Let your brother be right by recognizing that he is expressing thoughts within the mind. There we've gone full circle, back to the very first message that we read tonight. Let your brother be right by recognizing that he is expressing thoughts within the mind, our shared mind, right? The idea of that one is a jerk is in our mind. If we get down to the level of whether we agree that Regina's a jerk or not, then we're just getting down to the level of separation. I say she is, you say she's not, we're arguing. We're separate. But if we just look at the content of the idea that someone can be a jerk, we have to agree. We have to agree that thought is in our mind. That is a shared thought. Yes. My brother is not wrong. He is reflecting a thought in our mind. Let your brother be right by recognizing that he is expressing thoughts within the mind. In this way, he is always right. You will be willing to let go of thoughts derived by thinking. You be willing to let go of thoughts derived by thinking. Instead, ask me how to see. Now, this is a theme we've seen much more in the last year with Ramana Maharshi. This may have been the first time that this came to me. I don't know for sure. But one thing Ramana Maharshi asks us to do is, for instead of us just perceiving it the way we perceive a situation and assuming that our perception is the right perception of the situation, Ramana Maharshi invites us to ask, how shall I see this? And now we're back to the prayer. We're back to the prayer that we began talking about at the top of the hour in the prayer. The prayer we talked about in the prayer. I'm giving you guys a link. I'm going to read the prayer in full. Holy Spirit, let me remember that a bird is not a bird, a hand is not a hand, a body is not a body. Let me remember that the sky is not the sky, the clouds are not clouds, and rain is not rain. All that my mind shows me as I look upon the world is an error and a mirage. How can I think I know based on what I see and experience? To think I know based on what I see is to be a fool, believing in fool's images. Let me be wise and trust not my sight. Let me surrender fully to you. Amen. When we see a situation, see a circumstance, and we believe we are right in the way we are seeing it, we are being a fool, believing a fool's images. If a bird is not a bird, a hand is not a hand, how can we think we're right about what we see and experience? This is why Holy Spirit in October in 2006 and Ramana Maharshi throughout the last year has been encouraging us to ask, how shall I perceive this? Instead of just believing the perception that pops into our mind. I'm going to pray the prayer again. Holy Spirit, let me remember that a bird is not a bird. A hand is not a hand. A body is not a body. Let me remember that the sky is not the sky, the clouds are not the clouds, and rain is not rain. All that my mind shows me as I look upon the world is an error and a mirage. How can I think I know based on what I see and experience? To think I know based on what I see is to be a fool, believing in fool's images. Let me be wise and trust not my sight. Let me surrender fully to you. Amen. So I'm going to start the hour the way I'm going to end the hour the way I started the hour. Holy Spirit, I see within me the temptation, the desire to believe my perceptions, to believe that I am right about what I think, about what I experience. But I am willing to let go of that completely. am willing to let go of that completely. I am willing to know that at the level of human perception, I cannot be right. I am willing to know at the level of human perception, I cannot be right. And I am willing to surrender completely to you. I take my razor blade out and I'm going to begin scratching on that rope now. The rope in the belief that I am right. I'm willing to break all attachment to that rope. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you guide me and help me to see when I'm believing my own perceptions so that I can stop and choose again. Thank you and amen. Good night, everybody. I will see you on Wednesday morning. And by the way, to those of you in the room, thanks for skipping the Super Bowl. Of course, I know some of you probably have it on TV too and your eyes were going back and forth, right? Okay, bye.